If you have your Bibles, let's go back to Luke chapter 15. I mentioned this morning I'm going to be preaching again from this parable of the Good Father. This parable of the Good Father. You know, I was reading a little piece entitled Father, and I thought it was pretty true. It said when a child is 4 years old, here's what they say about their father. My daddy can do anything. When they get 7 years old, they say, my dad knows a whole lot. A whole lot. When they get 8 years old, they start to say, my father doesn't quite know everything. When they get 12 years old, oh, well, naturally, father doesn't know everything. When they get 16 years old, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years old, oh, that man is out of date. What did you expect? 25 years old, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. 30 years old, we must find out what dad thinks about it. 50 years old, what would dad have thought about it? 60 years old, my dad knew literally everything. 65 years old, I wish I could talk it over with dad once more. Pretty true, isn't it? You know, as I shared this morning, this parable that's known as the parable of the prodigal son here in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, a great story. It's one of the most well-known stories told by the Lord Jesus. You know, this father is probably spoken about more than any other father in the Bible by people because it's a well-known, well-told story about this prodigal son and his father. The word prodigal, I looked it up in Webster's dictionary. The word prodigal, according to Webster, is to be recklessly extravagant or characterized by wasteful expenditure. Sounds a lot like our government, does it? We have a prodigal government today. But we learned this morning that the main character of this story is not the prodigal son. It's the prodigal's father. It's the father who's the main character of the story. And, you know, I've missed that early in my ministry, going through preaching this passage, preaching about the prodigal son, and such a great story it is, and a great passage about how the backslidden can come home. And I preached about the elder son being one of those self-righteous believers who's critical and just generally unhappy. I mean, it's the believer that's in church, and he's faithful, he's here, he's there, but he's critical of everything. I mean, I preached on that son. But, you know, as we look at this passage, we see that the father, he deals with both of these sons. He deals with both of them individually, each one. You know, we don't know this father's name. We don't know the names of his sons. In fact, we know very little about this father other than the fact that Jesus chose to use him to illustrate to us the Heavenly Father's love. You know, I heard him make a statement about fathers reflecting our Heavenly Father, and that's kind of what I want to preach on tonight, because this morning our focus was on our Heavenly Father. As we looked at this passage, we learned that our Heavenly Father, He's a concerned Father. He's concerned about His children. He loves His children so much. We learn that He's a compassionate Father. When we go back to Him, He's compassionate. He receives us back. We learn that He's a charitable Father. He's very generous. He gives us so much more than we deserve. But tonight, the application of this parable I'm going to make to fathers tonight, to fathers and grandfathers tonight, how to be a good father to our children, how to be a good father to our grandchildren. And, you know, I want to begin by asking this question. What do you do when your children or your grandchildren go off into the far country? What do you do? You know, this can range from a child that's away from home, not living up to the expectations that God has for them, to a child that's living in the home, causing chaos because of their rebellious spirit. What do you do when you have wayward children? Well, I think we can learn something from this story that Jesus taught, not just about our Heavenly Father, not just about His love, but we can learn to reflect His example in the lives of our children. And so I want to share some things that we can do as fathers and grandfathers when we have children that are wayward. The first thing tonight, I believe, is be there for your children. Be there for your children. You know, verses 12 through 18, if you want to, let's go back and read. Let's just begin at the beginning, verse 11. We'll read down through verse 18. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I want you to notice here that this son, this prodigal son, when he came to himself, the first person he thought about was his father. I mean, think about that. He, you know, even when he thought about heaven, I mean, here he said, I'm going to go back to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. And, you know, when he thought about heaven, he thought about his father. You know, his father raised him right. And we find here that he knew that his father was approachable. He knew his father was going to be there. He knew he could go back to his father. He knew that his father left the door open for him to come home. You know, when this son came home, he wasn't disappointed. He wasn't disappointed. His father didn't close the door and say, no, you go on. You reap what you've sown. You're getting what's coming to you. You just go on. No, the father opened the door. The father was there for his child when he came home. And you know, as parents, we need to be there for our children when they go astray. It's very hard when your children break your heart and go astray. It's very hard for you to not become angry. It's very hard for you not to be frustrated with them. It's very hard not to be irritable about it and be feel ashamed about it. But you know what? We have to be there for our children. You have to be there for your children. You know, had this man been a mean, selfish old man, I'm sure his son wouldn't have come home. He wouldn't have come home to his father. So we need to be available to our children. Let them know the door is always open. Tell them that they can come and talk at any time. Never, never, never slam the door on your children and say, never come back to this house. We shouldn't do that because, listen, our Father in heaven didn't do that. You know, think about if our Father in heaven did that. How many times have we broken our Father's heart? I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. How many times have we been rebellious? How many times have we did not follow His will for our lives? How many times did we walk away from Him and go into the far country? What if our Father just said, "Hey, don't come back. I'm finished with you." Well, I tell you, it'd be tough, wouldn't it? I'm glad that our Father leaves the door open. That when we sin, we can come back home. I'm so grateful for that. Because I know in my own personal life as a Christian, I have been there. I have been where this son was. I had gone into the far country. I am thankful that my Heavenly Father left the door open. I'm thankful that He was compassionate. I'm thankful that He was there when I was ready to repent. So it's very, very important that we as parents, that when we have wayward children, that we be there for them. Just be there. Be available for your children at all times. Just be compassionate like our Heavenly Father is. Be compassionate. You know, our Heavenly Father, as I mentioned, He's very approachable for His children at any time. At any time when we fall away from Him, no matter how far we go, no matter how deep we go into sin, you know what? He leaves the door open. I want you to turn to a psalm. You know, I had thought about preaching from this psalm today, but the Lord led me here to Luke 15. But if you'll turn to Psalm 103, I want to just share a few verses here in Psalm 103. This some great truth here in this psalm of David. I want to look beginning verse 8. I want to just focus again a little bit upon our Heavenly Father so we can reflect our Heavenly Father when we deal with our children. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Notice verse 13. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." You know, here I want to stop, and I want you to notice this about our Father in heaven. How He's merciful, He's gracious. He is slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. We see something about, as a father pities his children, so our Heavenly Father pities us. That means He shows compassion. He feels compassion. It speaks of deep in the bowels, that feeling of emotion, that compassion, that feeling, that sympathy. And He has that compassion for His children. And He knows that we're just made of dust. He knows that we're made of flesh. That we're going to fall. We're going to sin. But He's so merciful. And you know, if our Father is so merciful to us and He's there for us, let's be there for our children. No matter what our children do. No matter how far they go into sin. No matter how much they break our heart. Let's be there for our children. Let's love them as our Father loved us. Secondly tonight, be a spiritual leader to your children. Be a spiritual leader to your children. You know, in verse 18, back in our text, he says here, "I will rise and go to my Father and will say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee." You know, when this son when he came to himself, he realized that he had sinned against heaven and against his Father. How did he know that? How did he know to go back to his Father? How did he know what he needed to do? Well, his Father had taught him. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I always say that that proverb is simply a proverb. It's not a promise. It's not a promise that your son, your child will never go astray. If you teach them right, it's not saying that they'll never go astray. It does not guarantee that. But it's a principle here. It's a principle that when we train them up in the way they should go, listen, if they do go astray, they have something to come back to. They have a foundation that they can come back to. Just like this prodigal son here, you know, he had gone off into the far country. But listen, because his father was a spiritual leader, because his father laid a spiritual foundation, this boy had something to go back to. He had a place to go. He knew where to go. He knew what to do because his father had taught him properly. His father had taught him what it means to serve God and to get right with God. You know, the Bible never guarantees that our children will choose to serve God and live right. You know, I've learned as a parent that children have a sin nature just like I have. We all have a sin nature. We all have the freedom to choose our own way, no matter who you are. You know, you can be raised up in the most godly environment, have the most godly upbringing and training and education, but yet still go into the far country. You know why? Because we have a sin nature. We, just like that hymn I mentioned this morning, that hymn that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, we have that tendency. That hymn writer knew the tendency of the human heart to wander from God. You know, that's our tendency. I mean, if that's why we need church. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to be in the house of God every time the doors open, so we can be encouraged, so we can be exhorted to and provoked to love and good works. You know what? Because if I'm not exhorted, if I'm not provoked, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to wander. As a pastor, I mean, I'm not a super spiritual giant. I'm just as weak as you are. I mean, in all honesty, I'm just as weak as the weakest Christian in this church. In just a moment, I could fall in sin just like that. I could go off into the far country just like that. I mean, you look at there's pastors that happens to all the time, missionaries and all kinds of people. We read in the Bible of it. Even David, a man after God's own heart. We all need God. We're all dependent on Him. We all need church. We need each other. We need this fellowship. God has created the church, you know, to help us stay right, to help us grow. You know, our theme, make disciples, mature disciples, mobilize disciples. You know, that maturing disciples, that's all part about the church. We get to say, we had Brother Cruz here baptized today. You know, we got to encourage him. But not just Brother Cruz, but Brother P.D. and Brother Guthrie and Brother Stavenhagen. I mean, every single one of us, we need to encourage and exhort one another. And, you know, that's why God gave us the church. So we can be encouraged, so we can, it's to help us. And we as fathers, it's so important that when our children do go into the far country, that we remain faithful. Be a spiritual leader. Just because, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll be a spiritual leader and your children will go wrong and you think, oh, what did I do? Well, you know, it's vain for me to go to church. It's vain for me to serve God. I mean, I failed. My children are gone by the wayside. And so I might as well just give up serving God. I mean, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to do that. But you know what? The best thing you can do for your children when they go astray is be a spiritual leader. Remain faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I believe that father here was just that. His son went off, but he remained steadfast. He remained faithful. He kept the door open for his son to come back. He was there for his son. He was available, but he was also a spiritual leader. Listen, fathers, the responsibility to bring up our children and nurture and admonition of the Lord, it rests on the shoulders of us as fathers. Ephesians 6:4, where he says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." He didn't say Sunday school teachers. He didn't say pastors or the church or Christian school. He said, "And ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's our responsibility to be a spiritual leader. It's our responsibility to model what it is to serve God, to live like Jesus. You know, are your children learning from you how to pray by your example? Are they learning from you to love the Word of God? Are they learning from you to love church? If we don't teach them, who will? You know, we have to be the example. You know, if we treat church lightly, if we just hit and miss church, you know what we're teaching by example? Church is really not that important. God's really not a priority in my life. But regardless if my children serve the Lord, regardless if any other church member in this church serves the Lord, I want to endeavor in my own life that I am going to serve the Lord. That I am going to be faithful to Him. You know, that's important. It's very, very important. Because you know what? When your child that's gone into the far country, when they get to that point of desperation, just like this boy did here, when he came to himself, he was at the point of desperation. He had saw the ruin of sin. He had come to a place of emptiness we talked about this morning. He came to a place of humiliation, a place of being in bondage. He thought he was going to be free by running from his father and living his life the way he wanted without any rules in his life. But it ended up in bondage, ended up in emptiness, ended up in humiliation, ended up in desperation. You know, when they come to that point of desperation, a faithful, steady walk with God will speak volumes. They may not listen to a word you say. While they're off in that far country, you're trying to help them. You're trying to encourage them. You're trying to exhort them. You're trying to counsel them. They won't listen to a word, but listen, you be faithful. Be faithful to God. Continue praying. Continue serving. Continue loving the Word of God. Continue making disciples, maturing disciples, mobilizing disciples. Continue going on for the Lord. And listen, one day when they reach that point of desperation, they're going to look back. And just like this boy here, he said, "I will rise and go to my father." You know, I want to just share a testimony. This doesn't have to be do with father and son, but it illustrates this point. When I went off to university, when I first went off to university, I was not living for the Lord. I was not doing what I was supposed to do. I was not going to church like I should. And one of my best friends from elementary school was my roommate. We'd been buddies all those years. And then our wife and I, we got married, and not long after we got married, we surrendered our lives to the Lord. We started being faithful in church. And my best friend when he saw that we started serving the Lord and being faithful, he kind of just went his own way. Because that wasn't the way he wanted to go. You know, it was hard. I mean, to lose a friend that we been friends since Hillcrest. I remember sitting in fourth grade at Hillcrest. He sat across from me. We were best friends from that time all the way to college. But we continue to serve the Lord. And fast forward about 7-8 years later, I'm a pastor in Dalhart, and he's living here in Dumas with his wife. Actually, let me back up a little bit. Before he got married, you know who he calls to do his wedding? He calls me. And then their first child was stillborn. And who does he call? He calls me. He said, "Can you come and do the funeral for our baby?" Why did he call me? I mean, because there was a spiritual leader there that was in his life. Though all that time he wasn't living for God, all that time he was in the far country, when he came to a point of desperation, he went to that spiritual leader in his life. I was thankful to be able to do his wedding and to preach the funeral for his baby. And you know, we went all the way to Ghana, and we came back from Ghana, and we moved here to Dumas to 120 Mulberry Drive, and he lived right across the street. 3 months later, he transferred to Green Bay, Wisconsin. I said, "I came all the way from Africa, and you moved to Wisconsin." But I tell you, it's important that we remain faithful. Be a spiritual leader to your children. Don't ever compromise your walk with God to appease your children. You know, that's a very tempting thing to do, because you love your children so much. You just, sometimes, you know, they work and manipulate. Children can manipulate parents and manipulate them to make compromises. Don't compromise your walk with God. Don't compromise your faithfulness to God. You know, as I was preaching this morning, I was thinking about this prodigal son. You know, the father just let him go. You know, sometimes when you have children that are going in that direction, it's easy for the parent to just make a compromise and say, "Hey, let me just give an example. You don't have to go to church Wednesday night. You don't have to go to church Sunday night. Just as long as you go Sunday morning. Just stay here." I mean, parents will do that. Or parents make a comment, "Well, you know, I'll move your curfew a little later." Or, "Well, you know, I don't want you to drink, but, you know, as long as you don't get drunk." You know what I'm saying? Parents will start making compromise for their kids. Don't do that. Just stand. Be faithful. Be faithful. Because one day they will come back. They will come back. And so you need to be that spiritual leader when your kids go. That's what this man was. This man was a leader. And so when this boy came to the point of desperation, he said, "I will rise. I will go to my father." Number three, be an affectionate father to your children. Be an affectionate father to your children. It says in verse 20, "He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." You know, this father we talked about this morning was a compassionate man. He had been looking for his son to return, and when he did, he ran and hugged him and kissed him over and over. He was not afraid to show his emotions. You know, contrary to what we as men sometimes want to believe real men are not afraid to show their emotions. Real men cry. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible, you know what it says? Jesus wept. He wept. Are we going to live like Jesus? You know, I was reading in John chapter 13, in verse 1, if you want to look there. You know, Jesus was about to go to the cross. He was preparing his disciples for this dramatic time in their lives when their world was going to be turned upside down. But it says there in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." You know, he was very affectionate with his disciples. You know, I believe Jesus probably spent more time loving and caring for his disciples than he did chastising them. Oh, he did chastise them. Oh, he did discipline, yes. But he spent a lot of time loving on them. Right here it says he loved them to the end. You know, and this chapter tells us about one of his last acts that he did for his disciples before he went back to the Father. He got down on his knees and he knelt down and washed their feet. You know, this was Jesus' way of hugging them and kissing them. This was his way of telling them, "I've forgiven you." I mean, that what he was doing was teaching them to forgive one another. You know, this Father that we see here in this story, he was very affectionate toward his son, and he was very forgiving. When his son came back and in repentance, he came back confessing his sin. He came back saying, "I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven." You know, his father forgave him and restored everything back to him. But you know, I find a lot of Christians today don't want to forgive. They don't want to forgive. They get hurt. They get hurt deeply by, it could be parents hurt deeply by their children. They won't forgive their children. They just harbor that bitterness in their heart. And they refuse to forgive. But you know, here this father was affectionate toward his son. His son did, what his son did was horrible. Think about it. He said, "Father, I want my inheritance. I want it now." And he took it and he went off to use it to finance his rebellion. He lived with prostitutes. He lived a party life. He wasted everything. I'm telling you, he shamed the name of his father. He broke his father's heart. But you know, when the son came back, he was compassionate. He was forgiving. He forgave his son. What a challenge for us. As parents, you know, we have to be an example to our kids and by being affectionate, like our Father in heaven. You know, we talked about this morning, this Jesus is teaching, this is what our Father in heaven's like. He is charitable. He's forgiving. As we read in Psalm 103, He forgives us. He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. I mean, think about that. What does that mean? Have you ever measured how far it is from the east from the west? I mean, it's infinite. You go east, you just keep going and going and going and nonstop because our globe is circular. You turn around and go west, and you just keep going and keep going. As far as the east is from the west, that's infinity. And what he's saying is he's taken our sins, he's cast them into infinity, meaning that he's forgotten them all. He's removed them from his sight. Wow, think about that. Our Father did that. You know, when I rebelled against him, when I went into this life that this son went into, when I did that, when I went against my father's will, you know what? He cast all those things into infinity. He forgave me. Not at one time is my father ever going to bring it up and say, you remember? No, it's forgiven. It's under the blood of Jesus. It's gone. Wow. And you know what? We, as fathers, we got to reflect our father. Forgive. Forget. Put it in the past. What a challenge this is for us as parents. So tonight we learn, be there for your children. When they go into the far country, be there for them. Be there. You may be hurt. You may be deeply hurt. But be there. Be there for your kids. Be a spiritual leader. Be a leader. Remain steadfast. Remain faithful. Don't compromise to appease your kids. Be steadfast. Be faithful. You know, the best thing you can do is just continue going to church, continue serving God, continue praying, continue studying the Word of God, hoping, praying, waiting. You know, I watch my parents. We talk about Father's Day, having good fathers. I watch my father all of my life be faithful to this church. I don't really remember a time where he wasn't here. I mean, there were times, yeah, they were gone out of town or something, but, you know, I can remember all my life being faithful in church. Steadfast. That's what we need to be to our children. Be affectionate. Don't be afraid to tell them you love them. Don't be afraid to show emotions with your kids. Forgive. Be forgiving. You know, tonight as we close, I know not everyone here is a father. Maybe not everyone here is a father with a prodigal child. But let's stop again and reflect on this story. Maybe you're one of his children tonight and you have gone into that far country. Think about his love, his compassion. Would you come home to him tonight? The goodness of God, as we read this morning, Romans 2:4, leadeth thee to repentance. As we reflect on the goodness of God, may it lead us to repentance. May it just make us realize how wicked our sin really is and how wicked our rebellion really is, and that we'd go back to him. Maybe you're a child here and you've gone against your parents. You've not been respecting your parents. This is a time you can get right, just like this boy did. Went back to his father and said, I've sinned against you. I want to make it right. I want to get right with you. Because I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. Why don't you get right with your parents tonight? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. We have a Father that loves us. Father that loves you so much, he sent his son into this far country to die for your sins. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again. Just for you. And you know, if you come to him, just like this son did, come in repentance to him. You know what? He will take your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. He'll remember them no more. That's the promise we have in the Word of God. Wouldn't you like that tonight, to come and just have all your sins just wiped out, removed? That's the kind of Father we have. Let's stand tonight. Bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful once again for this wonderful story told by our Savior, Jesus Christ. A story about a father who was looking for his son that had gone into that far country, who was hoping, praying, and waiting. All the while, this father, he was there for his son. He was available. He was waiting for him to come home. He left the door open that his son could come back. He was a spiritual leader for his son. He had trained him up to be what he ought to be. He trained him to walk with God. He taught him how important it is to go to church and to give to the Lord and to serve the Lord. And he remained steadfast, even though his son broke his heart. And I'm sure that this father felt like a failure, but he remained steadfast and faithful. And he was affectionate when his son came home. He was forgiving. And Father, we know when we look at this story, we know it's really telling us about you, about your love, your compassion, and how that you're plenteous in mercy. Oh, Father, we thank you because we're so sinful. Lord, we're so prone to wander from you. We're so prone to our thoughts can just in a moment wander and would be thinking evil thoughts. Lord, it just doesn't take much for us to just stray into sin. But yet, Lord, when we come to you, you're always there. You're always forgiving. You're willing to restore us when we repent. Father, I don't know how you want to use this message tonight, but I pray that you would use it to speak to every heart, to apply it to every situation, that you might accomplish your perfect will in every life. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.